You see at the top is always, I mean, besides the features that we know, like we know that Tosfot is always on the outside, Rashi is always on the inside, except on a page where there's no Tosfot, like this. And there's always four lines of text at the top before the Gemara begins. And as you see, like the way that the Rashi and the Tosfot form this kind of frame around the top, there's always four lines of text, and then it goes thin. Right? It's just the aesthetic of how the typesetters work. But every now and then, just think of the typesetting. Think of the work that was involved. This past summer, we were in Vilna. And you go to the building where the widow Ram, the brother, the Achim Almana Ram, you know, ran the press. Now, they weren't the first to print the Talmud, but they became the most famous. The building is still there. It's a beautiful, huge building. It's like an apartment building now. No, it's an apartment building. But the typographical work that was involved, when every letter had to be set by type, by hand, right? It's astounding.
Yeah.
Right? It's just astounding.
Every letter was made by hand.
Every letter was made by hand, but then it had to be set by it, right? It's just a step.
It is.
So here, but you know, sometimes, you know, but they had to work with what they're given. On a page where there's no Tosfot, you know, or a page where there's just a little Gemara, right? And a lot of Rishonim.
It could have been done differently, though.
How? Where would you put it?
Tosfot could have gone up on the top, right there.
Yeah.
And then make the rest of the Gemara wide.
Yeah, but then where would you put all the Rashis?
Well, you wouldn't have to make the Gemara extending to the right on the bottom. You're right, it would not be symmetrical.
It wouldn't have fit.
It could have been done a lot of ways.
Hold on.
Somebody has to, like, figure it out.
Yes, I'm saying, but it's a...
Did you see this new thing that just came out today? I think today. It's not published today. the website of Tzara HaFlam, where they have a thing where you can go and take it loads up any daf, and then you highlight the Rashi, a Tosfot, whatever, and then it pulls in every other thing in the database of where quotes that source, that Rashi, that Tosfot, that Gemara. It's just amazing. It's really amazing.
Uh-huh.
But like as the daf, you know, looking at the daf itself.
My name? No, I didn't see. Right. Well, remember, the original sets of Shas, the original plates were much bigger than this. Our Gemaras are all photo offsets, or they've been reset computer-wise. But the original Shas, you know, was much larger because there was no way to. It was just difficult to. Anyway, so we're on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, the last wide line before the invasion of Tosfot into the text there. We were talking about the Shir Shalyom, the Shirat HaLevim. B'Musfei D'Shapta, Mahayu Umrim. So what was the Shir from Musaf? In other words, the Levim worked a lot more than we imagine. If your whole sense of the Shirat HaLevim is the Shir Shalyom, you're missing out on, you know, the rest of the songbook. Because the Levim work every time there was a korban. So what did they sing at Musaf? So Omar Rav, Anan, Barava, Omar Rav, Hazyu Lecho. Maza Hazyu Lecho? It's like amazing. The Gemara says it, assumes it knows what it's talking about. So the Tosfot here, and Rashi as well, the Tosfot here fills us in, Ha'azinu. And as you look in Parshat Ha'azinu, you don't have Parshat Ha'azinu? That's one of those parshas people know about. Right. Well, and the problem is that the Rashi Tevot can fit into different psukim. So it's not the most effective mnemonic device because there are about, I think, five different options of how to divide up the psukim. But Ha'azinu, Hashamayim, Va'adevera, Zachor Yamot Olam, right, that's Sheni, right? Sheni begins Zachor Yamot Olam, right? Shlishi begins Yarkivehu al Bamatei Aretz. Revi'i is Veyar Hashem Vinat. Chamishi is Lu Chachma Yaskilu Zot. And Shishi is Ki Esa El Shamayim Yadi. That's according to Nusach Ashkenaz of how we divide up the laning. And each of those aliyot was one of the shirim that they sang at Musaf on Shabbat. Right? You see, Tosfos says Ha'azinu Zechor Yarkivehu V'yar Lule. He is different than what we have. Because his
standard of the whole table is different.
Of the different, how many shitos does he have? Five.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 7.
Seven. So there's seven different ways to understand how to divide up the parasha. So, but in other words, this division is principally for selecting different sections to use as the Shir Shal Yom for Musaf. The Gemara says, no, not even the whole parasha. Not, no. In other words, one aliyah. And as v'omar Rav Hanan barava, Omar Rav, kederech shalukim kan, kein chalukin beveit haKnesset. In other words, this division for the purpose of the Shir Shal Yom are the divisions for the aliyot. No, it was what the Levim would sing as the Korban was being brought. Well, you'll see. No, they would lay. It was on rotation. It was over 6 weeks. They would lay. They would not lay. They would sing.
So the only thing they wouldn't sing for Tehillim? That was like a third.
No, apparently not. Because the main Shir Shal Yom in the morning is from Tehillim, as we saw last week. But the Shira for Musaf was from Hazinu. But Mincha de Shabbata, Mahayom Rim. So for Mincha and Shabbos, what would they sing? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Az Yashir, Umi Kamocha, Va'az Yashir. What's the second Az Yashir? Az Yashir and Mi Kamocha are both what? It's both what we call Az Yashir.
There's an Az Yashir in Bamidbar.
What Shir is that?
The Shir
Abber. Right? In Bamidbar Perek 21. In other words, the first Az Yashir and Mi Kamocha are the two sections of the Shirat Hayam. And then the Shir from Bamidbar Kafalef. Which, if it interests you, there's a very, very interesting article in the previous issue of Tradition about those psukim. And it's open access on traditiononline.org. If you were a subscriber, you'd have received your copy in the mail.
Why isn't there a special price for Israel?
There is a special price for Israel. It's more expensive.
Yeah, I know.
What?
No.
But you can get digital access. Or you can go to Amazon and get it on your Kindle. Or you could go to Pomerantz, where you can order from Pomerantz and they deliver to Efrat. But it happens, this particular article about the Shirat HaBer is open access. Gula Torsky from Neve Daniel.
What's the
The whole shir.
The archive, by the way, when you go way back, is always these sort of possible to read sort of facsimiles.
It's only facsimiles. It's PDFs of the original articles.
Very
so some of the old ones, it's true, are... But
some of the really old ones are not...
They're all absolutely legible.
Not the one from Sebastian.
Which one? If you email the editor, he'll try to take care of you. It could be that Povishan is one that was scanned poorly, but I don't know. In general, there. I mean, unless there was a mistake on the original typesetting, that shouldn't be, because it's just a scan of the way they took the physical journals and scanned them, of those really old ones.
Right, depends on when it was scanned. Some scanners
are... Email the editor.
Unless it's here in the closet.
Oh, it could be, yeah. So, b'mincha, they would say these three shirim. Iboiluhu. So, the Gemara wants to know. Hani kulhu v'chad shabta amrei luhu Odilma kol shabta v'shabta. Omer chad. Did they say all of these? Or was it they said one on each Shabbat on rotation? Tashma. D'tanya omer Rabbi Yossi. Ad she'arishona omeret achat, shnia chozeret shtayim. In other words, the cycle for Musaf has how many sections? Hazuloch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And from Mincha, how many sections?
Three.
So it would take twice as long to cycle through the Musaf Shirim as it would for the Mincha Shirim. How do you know that? He's retired, but he still knows the numbers. Did they take away your slide rule?
Do you have one?
No, but I'm not an accountant.
I still have one. I asked it for you in first place when you presented it to you.
So from that you see, in fact, they said one for each Shabbat. So I understand. The Musaf, how long did it take to do the Musaf? No, but it's like, these short, in Ha'azinu, these short aliyahs. Oh! So that's the Iker. Right?
The entire time the Korban is being brought,
I don't know exactly. But it couldn't be that it was just the length that it takes them to read Rishon of Ha'azinu. Right, so obviously it was the musical arrangement. They sang it. They did harmony. They did three-part harmony. They did it up. Now think of like Jewish music today. What's Jewish music today? You take any one pasuk and you sing it up until it's done. What? You see that there was that satire last year? about the Nagoyim? They did this satire of like what a Jewish music video is, but they took like some line from Yerok rok, yerok shebirup, give adom dom, adom shebadu. Lonnie once joked that, like, you know, these neo-rock and roll, neo-Hasidic rock and roll singers, they could take anything. They could take, like, hallo me ragla yim yofin la. Titania. Wait. Shmamina kol shabta v'shabta omri chad. Shmamina. Omer Rav Yehuda bar Idi. Omer Rav Yochanan. Eser masaot nasa shchina mikroy. The shchina made its exit from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, making 10 stations along the way. And we know this from Psukim. Ukenegdan galtas Sanhedrin Migmara. What does that mean? The Sanhedrin was exiled from the Gemara? What does Gemara mean? The tradition.
Here we go again.
Tradition. In other words, our source for the idea that the Shekhinah made 10 stops on its way out is based on textual support. That the Sanhedrin left in 10 stops is based on Masorah. Eser Masot Nasa Shechina Mikroy Mikaporet Lakruv. As it went from the Kaporet to the Kruv. Mikruv Lakruv. Not cabbage. Right. It went from one cherub to another cherub. Umikruv lemiftan, to the front doorstep of the Kodesh. Umimiftan lechatzer, of the Beit HaMikdash. Umichatzer lemizbeach. Mizbeach Lagag, up to the tippy top. Have you seen that 3D, the virtual reality Mikdash thing they have? At the near the by the Minarot HaKotel?
At the bottom or on top?
At the bottom. Like by the entrance, like on the side of the
Kotel. Not the Machon HaMikdash.
No, not the bottom. Oh, the Machon HaMikdash also has one, I think. But at the it's not a movie, it's virtual reality. You go in and you put on the thing, you sit, everybody sits
there. Right.
And you can, and you, I've never done virtual reality before. But you got like this whole sense of like, what it looked like standing there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the...
Are you allowed to go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim virtually?
Virtually, yes, you are.
Just go into a virtual mix.
But it's right there. It's right there. You know what I mean, by the entrance to the Minarot HaKotel, by the side, by the... Alright, so they went up to the Gag, to the roof. Umigag lachoma, to the walls of the old city. Umichoma la'ir. Umi'ir lahar. Which are? What does Rashi say? Tar Tzofim? Har Zaitim, right? V'chol silukim halalu lefi shebekoshi haya mistalek u'metzape shiyashuvu. So why, the Shechina was making its exit. Why did it, you know, no, get going already. So what was the point?
Was hoping to come back.
He was hoping, Kasha pridatchem, but not like by Shmini Atzeres. He was hoping he was going to be called back. He was hoping that the Bnei Yisrael would do tshuva, and he wouldn't have to leave. Or I should say, she wouldn't have to leave. Did you see that interview that Jerry Seinfeld did with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner?
Yeah.
Comedians in cars. It's the funniest thing you'll ever see.
Cars getting coffee.
Every night, Carl Reiner is like 93 and Mel Brooks is like 91. And every night, they get together for dinner and they watch Jeopardy and a movie. And Jerry Seinfeld goes one night and they film it. And it's just like, he's just like, it's like the feet of the Gedolim. So when it's time to leave, they walk him out, and like, but on the doorstep before he leaves, like they don't, they, like they, you know how it is, a continuing conversation. So Mel Brooks says, "Jerry, you know what's the difference between a Jew and a Frenchman? A Frenchman leaves without saying goodbye. A Jew says goodbye and never leaves." So that's what the Shechina is doing. He says, "I'm out of here," but then he didn't leave. He 10 stops, you know, he couldn't get, but until finally it leaves into the midbar. Umimidbar altavi yashva bimkoma, and then from the midbar it ascends and goes back to its place. Shneimar elecha shuva el mikomi. So now the Gemara wants to like decipher each of these steps. Mikaporet lakruv, umikruv lakruv, umikruv lamiftan dechtiv. The first four steps. Vino adati lecha sham v'dibarti itcha me'al hakaporet. Ruchtiv v'yarchev al kruv v'yaef. Ruchtiv uchvod elokei Yisrael na'ala me'al ha'kruv. Asher haya alav el miftan ha'bayit. Miftan l'chatzir dichtiv v'yimale. These are all in Yecheskel, no? A variety of places. V'yimale ha'bayit et ha'anan v'chatzir mal'a et nega kvod Hashem. מחצר למזבח דכתיב ראיתי את השם ניצב על המזבח וממזבח לגג דכתיב טוב לשבת על פינת גג מגג לחומה דכתיב והנה השם ניצב על חומת ענך מחומה לעיר דכתיב כל השם לעיר יקרא ומעיר להר דכתיב ויעל כבוד השם מעל תוך העיר ויעמוד Alahar asher mikedem leir, umihar la midbar dichtiv tov shevet ba'aretz midbar, umimidbar alta v'yashva bimkoma, Dichtiv Elech Ashuva El Mikumi Veromir. Now, in other words, these psukim are not in order. And as the psukim all show that the Shekhinah was somehow connected to one of these places.
No, it
shows that God was there. So when was He there? He was there as He was on the way out.
But the order is
logical. The order is geographical. Yes. In other words, obviously, if you're moving from point A to point Z, you're going to first go to B and then to C and then to D. So in that regard, if you were to map out how it would go, it follows this way. And then the Gemara brings all these asmachta, or the horaya, that the... Omer, the three lines in the bottom. Omer, Rabbi Yochanan. Shisha chodashim nitakva shechina liYisrael bamidbar. Right? Before it finally left, it hung out for 6 months in the midbar. Shema yechzeru b'tshuva. Kevan shelo chazru. Omar. How long did it take to get to the midbar?
Right on the edge of the midbar.
By Yudas, right there. No, but each of the stops in between the midbar, the nine stops before it got to the midbar, was it there for just a moment? Or was it each of those places for a few days? I don't know. But if you assume that it went, you know, it went through these places and got to the midbar the day after Tisha B'Av.
The Sanzos quote the Perush. I'm Lamed Nun, saying that this family was not like at the time of the Korban, but rather it took over the course of years.
Right.
Except that Mizbeach and the doorstep and the roof wouldn't have been there after the Korban.
Right. You think it started off with when the Yoshiyahu was going to...
The wall was there, the city was there, the...
There's a note here that says that he's talking about from the 10th of Tevet to the 9th of Tevet. And he says, in the book, he says, the siege until he found the... I know, it's 18 months.
Who does he quote?
The Malasha.
Malasha, okay.
And the Malasha goes on, says, even though it's like a total of 18 months, after the first 6 months, the Shekhinah gave up on that.
There's probably a Rukhla in there. I assume it's Ayin Lamedun.
What?
I assume Ayin Lamedun is a Rukhla in there.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, so Kevin Shalom Chazru Amar Tipachatzman. Right? To heck with him. Shneimar Ve'enei Rishaim Techlena Umanos Avad Minhem Ve'tikvotam Apach Nefesh U'Kenegdan Galta Sanhedrin. And just like the Shechina left in 10 steps, the Sanhedrin had 10 exiles.
The first one's talking about Bayrish, the second one's talking about Bayrish.
Presumably.
Because there's no
That actually, you could probably say something nice there. In other words, that the, even though the Sanhedrin was present in Beit Rishon also, but the Sanhedrin in Beit Sheni somehow occupying the vacuum that's left by the absence of the Shechinah. And the movement from Nevuah to the rabbinic tradition. So where are they going? Milishat HaGazit L'Chanut. Chanut was like the Iratika. In other words, maybe it was like the Cardo, where the Chanuyot were. It doesn't mean that they like set up in a storefront. But it might mean just literally the Shuk. U'michanut liYerushalayim. U'miYerushalayim liYavne. So Yavne, of course, we know. U'miYavne liUsha. U'miUsha liYavne. In other words, they first went to Yavne. You know where Yavne is? You know where Yavne is?
Familiar.
Is there any archaeological evidence in Yavne of antiquity?
Tell somewhere, not some Arab villages there. That's Jibne, which is a thing that's not
And then they went up to, and then after Yavne, all of the seats of the Sanhedrin were up in the Galil, because the truth is the center of Jewish life after Bar Kokhba was in the Galil. The Talmud Yerushalmi, in fact, was composed principally in the Galil, not in Yerushalayim. So Usha's up north, but they went from Yavne to Usha, and then from Usha they came back to Yavne, and then they went back up to Usha a second time, and then they didn't come back down. Umi Usha l'Shvaram, umi Shvaram l'Beit Shearim, umi Beit Shearim l'Tzipori, umi Tzipori l'Teveria. In Tzipori, not long ago, they found there was some archaeological... They found, I think, near Tzipori, what they think, they presumed was, you know, what was called the Beit Havad, you know, which was basically the headquarters of the Sanhedrin.
I mean, a huge...
Yeah, no, but I think they found what they believe was at one point the residence of the Sanhedrin. And the final stop is in Tveria. The Tveria Amuka Mikulan, and Tveria is the lowest of them all. I mean, Tveria is the lowest of them all. You see, Rashi says, Shvelim Hayu Az Mikol Hamasot. I mean, it's the lowest elevation, but it's also Yerida Doros, right? In other words, it's the low point of the authority of the Sanhedrin. When is the Sanhedrin finally abolished?
Disbanded?
Rabban Gamliel, not the original Rabban Gamliel, there were six different Rabban Gamliels. Rabban Gamliel the sixth dies in 425 CE, and with him is the end of the Sanhedrin. So that was a good long run. Shne'emar, Shafalta me'eretz tidbari, right? You will speak, you will teach, you will preach from the low place. That's Tveria. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shesh Galut. Rabbi Elazar says, no, there were only six different Galiot of the Sanhedrin. Shne'emar, but he, instead of listing them, he brings a Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ki Hashach Yoshvei, ma? Heshach Yoshvei Marom Kirya Nizgava. Right, those that dwell on high will be brought down low. Kirya Nisgava, the elevated city, Yishpilenu, will be brought... Well, these are all synonyms for being brought down, for being what's a synonym for being brought down?
Lowered.
Being lowered. Yishpilenu. Yishpila ad eretz, brought down to the earth, Yegiena, ad afar, right? We'll reach down to the dirt. So there's six lishanot of being brought down low in this pasuk of destruction, and so that is the six galiot of the Sanhedrin. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, umisham atidin ligael, and from the low place, that's where we'll be redeemed from. Right, you have to hit the rock bottom before you can then come back up. Shneemar, hit nari me'afar kumishvi. Es nari me'afar kumi. Right, you come back up from the bottom. Okay, that's that Agada. And the Mishnah says... Is it hot in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So go turn down turn one off. Om Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, Va'od zot hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shafilu rosh betin bechol makom, shelo yehu eidim holchim ela lemakom havad. The rosh betin was the one that would say mekudesh mekudesh. The rosh betin was the one who was authorized to make the declaration of Eidut. And if the Rosh Beit Din was elsewhere, we talked about this last week, about the degree to which authority is connected to jurisdiction. It's like a line from a movie, right? You've got no jurisdiction. Like, you know, the sheriff crosses the town line. You've got no jurisdiction here, right? You've got no power here. Be careful before someone drops a house on you. Right? The idea that your power, your authority, is connected to your jurisdiction. Right? That the Sanhedrin outside of... Right, we were saying, like, imagine, you know, the Sanhedrin's invited to a chasana, and so where do you go to a chasana? You're, you know, at that place in Modi'in, where everybody has weddings now.
Achuza.
Right? And, you know, you're standing out there by the chuppah, and you look up and somebody sees the moon. So they say Eidus right there to the... It happens that there's members of the Sanhedrin present. So does that work? Or does it have to be in the... So apparently, Barishona, the Rosh Betin, took his power with him. And if he was elsewhere, he could do it elsewhere. Hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, another one of his takanot, that even if the Rosh Betin is somewhere else, the Edim would only go to where the Sanhedrin sat. Now, why should that be? Right, but what happened if the Rosh Betin was elsewhere?
No, but it had been a fixed location. You couldn't say to the witnesses, go find the Rosh Betin.
Well, apparently that's what they did, originally. But what did that cause?
Confusion.
Delays, agitation. Have you never had to go into an office to discover that it doesn't matter? This happened to me. You know, I got a petek from the post office that I got a package. So I never have to go into the post office. So on the petek, it's very useful. They tell you the hours of the post office. So I get there and it's closed. It said it's open like until 2:30. And I got there at 2:20. And in fact, it closes at 2, or whatever it was. So I went back the next day and I complained. Like, I had, like, arranged to, like, leave Yerushalayim early to get back to go get the thing. So they say, we're not responsible for that. The system automatically punches out the takim. There's a mistake in the system. It has the wrong hours. And that's not our responsibility. It's not my job. You know, it's like that way that you can never just say, I'm sorry. You can never just say, yes, we apologize for this. We were in a hotel for Shabbos. We were in a hotel for Shabbos at the Malona Sharon in Herzliya. It's like 45 minutes before Shabbos, we come back to the room to take showers. And I walk into the room, and the carpet near the front, you know, by the entrance, is all wet. So I thought that maybe my daughter had already taken a shower and she didn't, like, close the door properly and, the you know, it got all wet, right? So I get annoyed. But then I look up at the ceiling and there's water dripping from the ceiling. Yeah, no, there was a tsinor that had busted. The room on top, a pipe had busted and it was coming down. And I see, like, it's coming down the wall, and it's the rug of the whole room. So I call down to the, I say, look, there's a problem here. That's like a half hour before Shabbos. So they say, well, we'll send someone up right away. So they come, and he says, yeah, no, there's a pipe upstairs. We're fixing it. So I said, yeah, but I mean, what are you going to do? He says, no, we'll take care of it. We'll bring in the vacuum. They'll suck it up. They'll whatever. I said, no, this is no good. I mean, I can't, this can't be. Right, where are we going to go? First of all, we have to take showers. We have to, right? So he says, no, it's not a big deal. I said, whoa, hold on, wrong answer. Let me give you a little instruction on customer service. The first response is, Adoni, on behalf of the hotel, I apologize. I'm so sorry for this. No, it's never like. Okay, anyway, the Gemara says, Hahi itita. That lady, the Azminu Ledina, a woman got a summons to come to court. Kamei de Amemar, right in front of Amemar, Binahardoi. Right, so she had a summons to go to the court in Nahardo to be judged for some case in front of Amemar. Azal Amemar lemechuza. But Amemar was out of town. Velo azla batre. So she gets to Nahargo, and she says, look, I got the summons, I have to come to court, and they say, yeah, the judge who has to hear your case, he's gone to the next town for whatever reason.
The Rosh Bedin, he's away, doesn't have
I don't know. And as maybe he does, but for some reason this case was being judged in front of him. Presumably. But here, and as maybe it's in this case, this is a I don't know whether it was a financial case or whatever the situation was. Mm-hmm. But maybe they were in the middle of a case. In other words, like, let's say you get let's say there's an ongoing court case.
It happens all the time. I mean, you know,
right.
You have, like, in a Beit Din, you have three rabbanim.
Right.
And you come in, and, you know, eventually one of them is not there, so they have to postpone.
They have to postpone, right. Right. Velo azlo batre, and she didn't follow him, and presumably the assumption was she should have gone to find him wherever he was. Katav pticha ilvor. He put her in chayrim. A peticha is a kind of chayrim.
Because of what she had done in the original court case, or because of
no,
because
she didn't. She's in contempt of court. Omer le Rav Ashi la meimar va anant nan afilu rosh betin b'chol makom shelo yue edim hochim elo makom avad. Wait a second. In Kiddush HaChodesh, that was the takana that you go to the makom avad. Like, it's not reasonable to expect her to have to go chasing after you. She got a summons. She came to court. So he said, Omer le, hani mili, le'inyan edu d'chodesh. That was a special takana regarding edu d'chodesh. That it's the bezdin which has the authority, not the rosh bezdin. Lama, de'imkein nimtzeta machshilin le'otid lavo. Because what'll happen? What's always our concern with the edim? In Kiddush HaChodesh.
They won't come.
That they won't come. And that's why we do all these things, like when they come, even if we don't need them, right, 100 Eidim come and the first two settle the deal, the other 98, we still show them covered and we ask them questions and we give them sandwiches. Right? We let them be Mechal Shabbos, we give them extra Tchum Shabbos. Right? So in other words, if they show up, the Eidim schlep to Yerushalayim, and find out the Rosh Bezdin isn't in, and they have to schlep someplace else, so they'll never come and give testimony again. Aval hocha, but in the case of this woman, avad love le'ish malve. It's a pasuk in Mishle, that the debtor is subservient to the loan, to the loaner, right? The one who gives the loan, right? In other words, I lend you money, and it comes time to pay the loan, right? Who should go to who? You should come to me. You should come to me to pay back the loan, right? So, and as why? Because the person that lent the money has the higher hand. Here, the dayan has the higher hand. She should come to me. He says, it's Tanu Rabbanan. So, I think the Gemara brings this story of Amemar, you know, to prove the point that Enachinami. But for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kiddush HaChodesh trumps the honor of the Dayanim.
It seems a little bit strange because, you know, she got the summons to come to a certain place, which she did.
Right.
Yeah, she got the summons to go to the judge.
But he thought she got a summons to come to the judge.
Because
they told her.
When they got there,
they told her.
They should have gone to the next place.
Right? Well, you never, you've been here a long time, Shalom, right? You never went to the wrong lishcha of the Mishra Pnim for something, only to discover that you had to go someplace else, right?
Never.
Doesn't make it right.
I mean, it's...
I think I've been in the Mishra Pnim twice.
How is that possible?
I don't know, man. I go to the